COVID era coaching, and it was like vapor. Like they would sell these programs that were like, you get 1 hour a month of Voxer access, but if you use it, you're not standing in your strong feminine energy.
Oh my God, I haven't seen this.
And like, it's like $10,000 a month to have 1 hour of Voxer access. And I'm like, what the f-? And then, but they would post receipts on their Instagram of like, I'm making $875,000 a month selling these type of programs where I have such like powerful women in my circle that are my clients that they don't even need to use their coaching. Cause like just making the investment is empowering enough that they know what to do. And I'm like, I don't like this.
Get it,
like,
girl. We're here for it.
None of that feels very in integrity. Yeah, I think like this is the darker side of Instagram where there's no way to validate any of these numbers. And so yeah, anybody can post that they're making any amount of money. And how would you know that they're not?
Welcome back to the Boss Babe Podcast. Hello. Me and Lindsay are catching up today. It's been a while.
I know. I feel like we've been traveling and in implementation mode on all of our stuff. Yeah.
And I've kind of been AWOL, really. Yeah. I've needed a little bit of time.
You got a lot going on. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've been working through some shit. So grateful that you've been doing some interviews. You guys have probably heard some interviews with Lindsay on the podcast, some solos. Feel like I need, like going to the UK and going through that retreat, I just released a solo episode on this, like talking about how much I needed that. But I feel like I've really been going through it a little bit and just needed to step back and process. And I think what's so interesting is like how we're both kind of going through a similar process of wanting to tap back into two things. One, I think that sense of aliveness, like what makes us feel so alive and like lit up and turned on by life. And the second thing is both going deep in the nervous system work. So why don't we start there? Because I've also got a lot of things, a lot of controversial things that I want us to clear up.
So we got to calibrate our nervous systems before we start talking about controversial stuff. Okay.
But it's really interesting because I was at a retreat weekend and you just had your own separate weekend and we both were having a lot of these like similar moments. And what's interesting is we weren't talking a lot, which is also quite strange for us because I feel like we talk 24/7, but we had a lot of the same things come up. And I'm just going to project onto you where I think some of this is coming from.
Okay.
I feel like you and I are very, very similar in a way of we both hold a lot for a lot of people, for our families, for our teams, for our clients. Like, I do think we're honestly known as like the women you can rely on. Like, we've always got your back. Well, we can take stuff on, we'll get it done. And I think that is a beautiful quality and amazing. And at the same time, I think that comes with a lot of its own challenges. And it's really interesting that both of us have felt this at the same time, this need to pull back a little bit and tap back into ourselves. So does that sound accurate for you as well? I mean, that's definitely accurate for me.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how I feel. And I was thinking, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Nashville for the weekend, you were in the UK. And so the time zone was different and I was back to back with speaking, you were in retreat. So yeah, we weren't talking, but then it was like we had similar epiphanies. And so once we talked, I was like, well, this happened and I had this thought. And you're like, holy shit, that's exactly what I thought. And, you know, like eclipse vibes and all this stuff. But also I do think it's just this reckoning in our culture in general that we're seeing around this question that we talk a lot about of like, when is enough enough? And like when you hold so much, it's tempted to be like, well, if a little bit more is going to make this easier, a little bit more is going to make this easier. And you gave me a podcast to listen to and the person on it said, I'm so capable. And so like, I'm so used to just being so capable that I can take on the next thing and I can take on the next thing and nobody really sees the weight I'm under, but it's not really fair to me to expect me to do everything and not have somebody to whom I'm able to surrender and like feel totally taken care of by. And I was like, damn, like that's how it feels, is I'm so capable and I love being capable and I love making money. And like, wouldn't it be so nice if like all the money I made and all the things I do like didn't matter and I could feel like totally safe and to be taken care of in a way. And I was like, okay, this is a big question for me around what does that really energetically mean? Because I don't think it's like, I need a sugar daddy or like I need RT to go get a high paying job or any of these things. I think it's like all a mirror of my own nervous system of exactly what you're saying of like, where is my inner safety? And I am so calibrated to capability and achievement. And like, do I need to be doing everything I'm doing, you know? And have I chosen things to be capable at that aren't really necessary for my family to be okay. And for, you know, so yeah, I have, you said it to me the other day. You're like, I feel like you have a lot of open questions. And that is how I feel right now, is I'm awakening to a lot of these things, but I don't know the answer.
Yeah. I relate a lot to that on the nervous system. One thing I was saying in my solo episode was, I feel like this weekend I really got a chance to recalibrate my nervous system, because the last 2 years has been really, really challenging, and I've changed the way I have done everything. But before that, it felt like I had to hold it all, and I had to be the super capable one, and my nervous system felt that. Whereas I feel like I'm in a place now where I need to open my window of tolerance more and realize that I'm out of a hard situation. I'm out of a place where I need to be doing it all. Like, I'm out of that. And I feel like at my retreat, I really recalibrated my nervous system and opened up my window of tolerance to, I would like ask myself the questions like, how good am I willing to let things get? And I realized there had been a limit for me of how good I was willing to let things get and let things feel, because subconsciously I would just keep adding more to the plate, more to the plate, more to the plate. When I was free, I'd add more to the plate. And I think that was my nervous system trying to keep me safe, because in the past, that's what had been needed. And like, especially with business, like I was caught, there was so much pressure on me to continue, like always being in the marketing seat and always being in the revenue generating seat. And I'm not in that anymore. And that feels really good. My nervous system isn't still not sure of that. It's like, oh, wait, it gets to feel this easy. Like the business is crushing it. Or like, so many, like even outside of business, so much of that I'm having to open my window of tolerance and let myself be okay with it. And what I'm realizing is a lot of that can be really uncomfortable work. It's not like this quick meditation that you do where your nervous system's automatically rewired to a new way of doing things. It's allowing myself to, for me, what I've noticed is when something starts feeling really good and I notice a subconscious part of me starts to add other stuff on and not let it feel really good, I have to take a pause and really notice, am I adding this on because I want to add it on, or am I adding this on because I'm not willing to let it stay this good? So yeah, that's been really interesting work for me.
I feel like that's so relatable, like this idea of if it's not hard, it's not worth it, or it's not going to stay around, or some external force is going to come in and make it like not okay that it's been this easy for me. And I feel like I hear that a lot from people, women like us who are breadwinners, who are in early motherhood, where it's like we're so freaking conditioned at this level of calibration, which you're saying in the nervous system, which is so true. Like if you're in a certain level of stimulation for long enough, you calibrate there, right? And then it's like, okay, that season was really hard and I survived it. And now your nervous system is like, well, shit, we never want to not be ready for that to happen again. So we're going to stay calibrated to this level of vigilance and this level of like hardness. And then as stuff gets easy, like you're saying, you leave that season and you're in a much easier, quote unquote, easier season. And there's more space and more freedom. And your nervous system's like, oh, Natalie, like, no, we still can't relax because that could happen again, you know? And I do think that nuance is so seldom talked about, of like, okay, we want to be ready. Of course, we always want to be ready if something hard's going to happen, but we don't want to live our life in that state of like fry vigilance. And yeah, you and I were talking over the weekend, just like friend catch up, and like you were describing how you're feeling, and I'm tearing up in this of like how much I feel like I'm still holding, like frozen in 4 years ago's trauma from all the stuff that happened during COVID. I'm like, oh shit, that stuff. Just hearing you describe letting your stuff go, I'm like, oh, that touched something in me of there's still stuff I'm holding on to that I've been ignoring or like I thought I let go of. And that's like with nervous system work, I think is so important. Like you're saying, it's not one and done. It's daily looking at the onion layers, right? Of like, there is more here, there is more here. And oop, new stimulus. Oop, that triggered something. So yeah, with this idea of calibration, like what are you doing then? I know you just came off a retreat and learned a bunch of stuff, and we're talking about it in the business and everything too, but what are you doing to recalibrate? Like how are you interrupting these cycles or the patterns of operation?
So a few different things. One thing I've been really doing again is journaling, a lot of journaling, and getting all of my thoughts out on paper. And that has been feeling really, really good. And when I notice something triggers me or I'm activated by something during the day, spending time to write it out. And my previous habit is would be very direct to the point. Like, I just say what I need to say and then I'm out. Like, you know, quick paragraph that and then I'm done with journaling. And I've been sitting and trying to go longer of like, okay, maybe that quick paragraph's my conscious, but what's beyond that? Mm. What's sitting in my subconscious that actually I'm not saying that I do want to say? I shared it with you at the weekend too. Like, I grew up where I wasn't allowed to have a lot of emotion and expression. And I got very good at just getting very to the point and being quite stoic and all that stuff. So it's a real practice for me to be quite long-winded. So I'm actually being long-winded with myself in journaling. And I feel like I'm trying to tap out of my conscious into my subconscious. Beyond that, I'm trying to reduce my stimulation. So I think I was in hypervigilance. I really, really was for quite a long time. And I was very much in a place of dreading the emails that were going to come through, dreading the texts I was going to get on my phone, dreading what was like, that was a thing. And I moved into a place of hypervigilance and I didn't realize I never fully let that go. And there's certain times I would notice it where I'd get like a message saying like, I mean, even with you, like being totally honest, like if you had messaged me being like, hey, can we chat? My nervous system would go off and I'm like, oh, fuck, what have I done wrong? Like, and that's not anything to do with you or anybody else. That's just my nervous system still being a little bit jacked up. And I realized that over the past couple of years. So little things like that, I've now brought back into my awareness of like when I'm noticing certain things like this happen, I'm in the moment rewiring my nervous system. In the moment, I'm breathing through it. I'm allowing myself to sit with the discomfort and literally telling myself, you are not being chased by a tiger right now. You are not in danger. You are safe. You know, doing the nervous system work, looking around the room, like calling out what I'm actually seeing, what I'm feeling, all of like bringing my senses into it, bringing my body back into the picture, because I feel like my head has run the show for so long that I'm bringing my body back into the picture. So that's been really, really powerful. And then also a lot more connection with Stephen. Like, instead of just passing ships and like, how are you? How are you feeling? Like sitting with him, like looking into each other's eyes, dropping into gratitude, dropping into how we're really feeling, trying to get beyond the head into the body and having that person to share with has been powerful. So I feel like there's a lot of things. I'm reducing my stimulation. I'm not really watching so much TV. I'm reading fiction books. Just allowing my nervous system to settle and realize we're not being chased by a tiger and allowing things to feel really good. But it's also a practice to notice when I try and add another project on or doing something like we were talking about yesterday. I think we're going to pull the plug on a project that we've gotten pretty far down the line with, which to anyone else would be insane of like, why would you give up that much money? We both made the decision yesterday of like, we actually don't need to do this. And if we're committed to only doing things that feel like a fuck yes for us, why are we doing this? And making those decisions, that also feels like nervous system regulation and opening my window for tolerance of like, actually, I get to do things that feel really expansive and fun. I'm not doing them just because I need to be in safety or I need this or I need that. So a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The being an observer, that's the one point that I wrote down as you're talking, because I think that's something that doesn't feel safe all the time, is to like to stop in the moment and just observe the feeling you're having and go, I'm just like, Lindsay slacking me could mean anything, right? But like, I have this nervous system flush of, oh shit, is it bad news? Or like, it has something happened that now I'm gonna have to fix. And I think like that is so relatable to so many of us, where maybe it's not in work, but there's someone or something in our life where like we see their name pop up, or like the bill comes in, like it's logging into your bank account. Like it could be so many different things. And there's that flush of the nervous system that goes like, huh, shit, you know, and you have that. And instead of reacting and letting it spiral, you can go in the moment. You're like, wow, I'm having a physical reaction to getting a Slack message that Lindsay wants to talk. Like, wow, okay, this is probably because this happened to me. And it could, and if it is negative news, I know how to handle it. And like, really taking the in the moment opportunity to step out and observe what's happening. Like, I learned this years ago in all my mindfulness training, and it sounds so easy. You're like, oh yeah, of course, like I'm freaked out, I'm just gonna stop in the moment. I'm gonna be like, oh, you're just freaking out, Lindsay, like it's okay. But in the moment, that's not how it feels. And I think that is such an amazing practice of of being able to interrupt the pattern of like of the spiral that then starts to happen for so many of us. And this feeling, like the other thing I wrote down of like we were talking about the other day, of what's the point, and like how many people we know in our like friend life that are saying that have big successful businesses that are being like, yeah, I don't really like know what the point of this is anymore. And I'm like, wow, that's fascinating to me, because I think when you're on this journey of entrepreneurship and business building and motherhood and like all the things a lot of us are so deeply in, and like fulfillment of our ambition, like that's really what it comes down to. It's like, I want to fulfill my ambition. And then there's so many people right now that I feel like got to a certain level of success and are like, yeah, what's the point? Like I got what I wanted, and like, it doesn't feel that much different than like if I had a business a tenth this size and it was just me, you know, or like I didn't travel as much, or, you know, like all the things that they wanted, they now have had, and now they're kind of like wanting to go to a different set point in their nervous system. And they're having these conversations of like, should I just close my business? Should I change my business? Like, do I just let my business run without me? And I think it's so fascinating that like the collective is in this question of what's the point of doing more and continuing to grow when what I really want is this certain level of calibration. And to stay at this level of calibration, like you're saying, requires less stimulation and less like less doing. So yeah, I don't have an answer, and I think neither do you. Like, we're in this question a lot, but we also are like really living it and really holding each other accountable in the business to being like, does this feel good? Like, really, really though, does it? And if it doesn't, then what would feel good? You know, canceling it all together, moving it out, changing the structure, all of the above. Like, and obviously we're at a point in our business where we can do that and still pay payroll and be totally fine. And it's, I think it's still an invitation to everybody to be like, it's not worth, like, from people who have lived through extreme emotional fry related to their business or nervous system fry related to their businesses, it's not worth continuing to push through something that you can already feel is calibrating you to like hypervigilance or massive scarcity. Right. And I think that's the thing. I took this away from the event I was at in Nashville too, of speaking to all these moms. I was in a room with hundreds and hundreds of moms, and I'm like, you gotta be like living your truth, you know? Cause if you're trying to do something calibrated to somebody else's level of success or somebody else's way of being successful, it's not in alignment and it's going to backfire. At some point it's going to backfire in your life, in your business, both in your body. And it's just not worth it. And I know it feels maybe worth it in the moment to go chase the trends on social media and grow the following and get the big business. But if it's not truly what you want, that level of overstimulation and hypervigilance in your nervous system is going to catch up with you.
Oh, yes. So much to that. And on the, what you were saying around people questioning, like, is this all worth it? Why am I doing any of this? We were talking about this at the weekend, but a lot of times with these kinds of questions, I always go back to Maslow's hierarchy. I know it's like such a basic framework, but I always go back to it. And one thing that I really do believe is a lot of us, when we haven't regulated our nervous systems to be able to allow us to experience the most joy and the most peace and fulfillment, and like we have those upper limits. I think even the upper limits work is very, very related to your nervous system. I think a lot of people get stuck in the basic needs section of psychological needs, safety needs, and even when you aren't having to worry about putting food on the table, you're still stuck in your nervous system is still there, so you're still chasing that next piece of revenue, that next thing, versus making choices from a different place. You know, what I hear from a lot of people is they will build these businesses and they end up getting so burned out from the business because they're not expressing their creativity in the business. And I think a lot of that comes down to actually you're building your business with a nervous system that is still stuck in safety, that is still stuck in needing to cover its basic needs. And your nervous system isn't allowing you to move up that hierarchy and actually work on the creative elements, on working on what's going to help me self-actualize, what's going to help me to develop as a human being. I think that's, you know, the reasons that we're here is connection, love, and developing as human beings, whereas we get so stuck in that part of the nervous system. And that's also, I've noticed that in my whole business journey. Every time I'm stuck there, I make decisions out of scarcity and fear. And when I recognize that, I can make more decisions from a place of, this feels like something I want to do, or this is a really good outlet for my creativity. And I think all of this is related to your nervous system and your window of tolerance and how good you're willing to let things feel and let things get. Do you think, yeah. I know you've done a lot of nervous system work. Like, how do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's exactly that. And it's, I always root it into the body because my background in yin yoga, like I always tried to, I was thinking about this morning, like I haven't taught yin since COVID because we had to close the yoga studio. But before we closed, like abruptly, because the government said we had to, I'm not bitter at all. I still carry that little bit of nervous system agitation. I was teaching like 6 classes a week, yin classes. And so I was very steeped in this conversation of, with regular people, all the people that would come into the yoga studio who weren't necessarily deep in inner work, who weren't entrepreneurs, who weren't like immersed in physical somatic practices the way you and I are. And I would teach to them through the yin practice, which is very slow and very floor based, about where this stuff is rooted in the body, because our nervous system is definitely going to manifest somewhere in your body, you know, depending on what type of constitution you have. It, you're going to feel it in your gut. You're going to feel it in your heart space. You're going to feel it in generalized tension in the body. And so much of it is this question of, you know, if you're feeling it somewhere in your body and you're pushing through it, you know, and that's such an American vibe, maybe it's British too. Like, my body is an obstacle to overcome instead of the thing to listen to. And that when doing nervous system work, I think it's so important to be like, man, every time I get stressed out about this thing, my left shoulder, like, you know, and it, like, we don't connect these things until you start to pay attention. You're like, oh gosh, when I go down this, my basic safety things, or I get stressed about money, or I need to make this decision in my business and I avoid it. And like, but I get stomach sick, or I get this weird knot in my shoulder, or I stop sleeping well, or my sciatica flares up. It's like, okay, these things are connected. So what, if you don't know the answer intellectually and you aren't getting it from your journaling, like, can you go into the body and feel where this stuff is coming from? And in the same way of like observing stimulus and response, going, okay, when I think in this way, I'm able to stretch a little deeper into the tension. I'm letting to release a little bit more. So to me, it's all so connected in the body. And that's where I always encourage people to go back to, is like all these questions we're talking about, if it's resonating, it's like, and if you can, like, lay on the floor and see where you feel it, because that's the place to start, and go get curious about the tension in your body. The other thing that I listened to recently, was saying like this reminder that we carry generational trauma in our literal physical tissue, because we were all eggs inside of our mothers who were inside of our grandmothers, right? So the egg we came from was inside of our grandmother. And if you've ever done any ancestral trauma work, especially if you've ever done plant medicine work, you know the grandmother lineage is very, very full of trauma for a lot of us. Like, there's just stories in our ancestry we don't know about. And I think when you... that can be a heady thing to think about. It's like, this is too much. Like, I don't want to embark on this level of inner work yet. Then my invitation is like, cool, go find it in your body. Like, where do you have similar tension patterns as your mom or your dad? Where do you have similar like physical manifestations of stress as your mom or dad did? Like, that's an entry point to curiosity on nervous system. Like, how much of what you're carrying isn't even your own? So these are like all the things that come to my mind when we start talking about nervous system work. And I'm like, oh, Lindsay, it's not connected to business. Like, why are you guys talking about this? It's like, well, this is the stuff that is the level of, like, the magic unlock for the level of success that a lot of us want to be at. Success on our own terms, right? Not money success, not follower success, like success in the sense of, I make a great amount of money and I get to spend that money on what I want to spend it on. And everyone in my family system feels safe, like freedom, right? I think these are the questions that you get to ask when you're stuck in the, what you're saying, the lower levels where you don't even feel safe. It's like, well, where is this coming from? where do I start? I say, like, start in your body and start with some of these nervous system questions that we're talking about.
I directly correlate all of the success milestones I've had to my nervous system work. Directly. Like, I can see all of that. I can see where I was investing in my nervous system and inner work and how that reflected on the outside. Like, when we talk about outer freedom, it all starts within, and like, it all mm-hmm. starts with, how much success do you think you're worthy of? How much success can your body hold? So I think it's so much more related to business than we really even know. One thing you also said, which stood out so strong to me, was that we think the body is the obstacle. And it's such a good point. Like, how many of us feel certain things, even like feeling that gut instinct that something's not right, and you push it down and you like push through. We do it all the time. And it's recognizing this stuff and doing this work. I really, really believe that our outer success is a reflection of our inner state. And it's the mindset stuff and the inner work stuff isn't always the sexy stuff. It's not talking about viral content. It's not talking about your funnels, but it is the powerful, powerful work. Like, anytime anyone's like, how did you make your first million? I always say the same thing, and it was mindset work. Mm-hmm. No question about it. Like, yes, the funnel was great. Yes, all of that was great. But without the mindset work, that's the foundation, the fuel for everything else that then ensued. And I feel that now with like, I feel like the next level I'm moving into is being able to enjoy what I've built. Like, I think I've been in such, especially the past 2 years, like so much fight or flight, just trying to like resurrect what was not working and then protect it. And protect myself, that I haven't really stepped back to enjoy any of what it is that I've been able to build and turn around. And I feel like that's my next step. Let's take a minute to talk about one of my favorite educational platforms, Masterclass. I have been referring back to this platform for years, and I love that you can simply log in and take inspirational classes from world-class coaches, no matter where you are. If you haven't explored Masterclass yet, go to masterclass.com/bossbabe and scroll through some of the categories. I think you'll really love what you see. One of the latest classes I tuned into was Anna Winter's class on creativity and leadership. She takes you into her office as Vogue's editor-in-chief, and it was so inspiring to learn about her leadership style, team culture, and how she encourages creativity in her team. Not only does Masterclass have tangible business development classes that you can watch at your desk or listen to on the go, but it also includes classes in 10 other categories ranging from food, home and lifestyle, music, wellness, design, and so much more. There are over 200 classes to choose from, with new classes added every month. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/bossbabe. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/bossbabe, masterclass.com/bossbabe. Let's take a quick pause to talk about my new favorite all-in-one platform, Kajabi. You know I've been singing their praises lately because they have helped our business run so much smoother and with way less complexity, which I love. Not to mention, our team couldn't be happier because now everything is in one place. So it makes collecting data, creating pages, collecting payment, all the things so much simpler. One of our mottos at Boss Babe is simplify to amplify, and Kajabi has really helped us do that this year. So of course I needed to share it here with you. It's the perfect time of year to do a bit of spring cleaning in your business, you know? Get rid of the complexity and instead really focus on getting organized and making things as smooth as possible. I definitely recommend Kajabi to all of my clients and students. So if you're listening and haven't checked out Kajabi yet, now is the perfect time to do so, because they are offering Boss Babe listeners a 30-day free trial. Go to kajabi.com/bossbabe to claim your 30-day free trial. That's kajabi.com/bossbabe. And all of that's going to start within. All of that's going to come from that inner work to be able to then enjoy it in the outer side.
Yeah. And I think that you get to do that. You get to enjoy what you've built and trust that it can still continue to build, right? Like, and I think that that's another fallacy or like myth of some of this work is like, well, Natalie, if you stop pushing, if you just are like, this is good enough, and I'm just going to enjoy it now, that it feels like somehow you're like leaning out and letting off the gas and that the business will go idle in the meantime. And it's like, that's not at all what we're saying. That might be what we're saying if that's the right choice for you. And of course, like we could do anything with Boss Babe, but in general, like, how do you, that's not what you're saying, right? Like, I know that's not what you're saying, but I feel like that's the response that I would have if I didn't know you, would be like, okay, so you're going to lean out and like, you're just going to let it just be, stay at where it's at and not grow it anymore. Like, are you going to be happy with that in a couple years?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I mean by being able to enjoy it more, is really enjoy what I've built and make decisions from that really aligned place of realizing, like, yes, when I bought the business, it was in a really terrible place, and we're not there now, and we don't need to be making decisions based on where we were at. And now we can be slower to make decisions. Now we can make decisions like yesterday from just what isn't feeling right and what isn't feeling like a long-term play. And that's really the place that I want to be able to get to. But definitely, like, my nervous system is being rewired for that, because it has been stuck in that previous place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we're so in this work. So it's like, we don't have all the answers. And I don't know that we ever will, because we're both so curious about like the edges. And we've been talking about that a lot too, of like, what are all these edges that we have, that some of it's private stuff that like won't ever make its way into the business domain, but that we're both so committed to pushing into the work, this inner work world, especially nervous system work, that challenges us to go out to these edges that are really uncomfortable and are places that like we avoid, and we're successful enough that we literally could avoid those places for the rest of our careers if we wanted to. Like, we don't have to go do that edgy shit. We don't have to say no to stuff. We don't have to ever be honest about all these things if we don't want to. But I think that's what I love about us and how we work, is like, we're constantly, at least you and I, you know, we're in our team too, we're pushing each other to be like, really? Like, do you really want to do this? Is this really the right thing? Like, let's get curious about it. And it triggers questions and feelings in us that we're like, ooh, I need to think on that. I need to think about that overnight or whatever it is. But I think that's such a gift of being in tune and in touch and like living really honestly into the inner work and the mindset stuff, is that it's constantly evolving and it does affect the business. And if it has changed the business really positively in the last year for you because of buying it and doing all this work really intentionally and getting to here. And it might mean that we don't do certain programs that could make us millions of dollars, but are like, it just doesn't feel aligned right now. Or we bump things out that we were planning and we're really excited about and now are going to change the timeline on, you know? And I think that's the gift, is like, if you're doing this work every day, the business never gets away from you. Like, you never land in a place where now you're out of like connection, and now it's dissonant in the business and you're like, ooh, this doesn't feel good.
Amen. I'm so here for all of that. And again, we don't have all of the answers, but it's so good being on this journey and just being able to be honest about it. And also, I really think we'd be doing women a disservice to not talk about this. Like, we have made more profit just a few months into this year than we made the entire of last year. And we made more last year than the year prior, right? And we would be doing people a disservice if we were just talking about, oh, it was the funnel, or it was this, or it was the viral content. Well, actually, there's been a lot of manifesting, a lot of woo-woo shit. There's been a lot of inner work. There's been a lot of that stuff combined with the strategy. And I think if we want to support women in building businesses, we get to be honest about the whole gambit of all this stuff. So yes to all of that. Okay, so let's pivot into some of the little hot topics that we had written down, because I also have been getting some DMs. I've been getting a few DMs about this faceless business trend that I want to talk about. So for anyone that's not sure what it is, it's this like Instagram, faceless Instagram accounts that basically post, here's how much money I make with a faceless business account. Here's what it feels like to me. Someone literally posts without their face, I make $80,000 a month. Here's how. And they sell a course and that's how they make the money, right? Like, they don't, it seems like a scam, and it also seems so short-sighted. Doesn't feel like a brand, doesn't feel like a business, doesn't feel like it's sustainable at all. So there we go. I'm calling bullshit on it. What do you think?
Yeah, it reminds me of like the COVID era coaching vibe that came out, where there's one who I won't mention, like one very well-known coach in the space, and then like a whole army of people that were like part of her world. And it was like, I always like bless these people, and I know that they have changed their businesses now because they've had to, but like I called it like vapor. Like they would sell these programs that were like, you get 1 hour a month of Voxer access, but if you use it, you're not standing in your strong feminine energy.
And oh my God, I haven't seen this.
And like,
this,
it's like $10,000 a month to have 1 hour of Voxer access. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then, but they would post receipts on their Instagram of like, I'm making $875,000 a month selling this program, you know, these type of programs where I have such like powerful women in my circle that are my clients that they don't even need to use their coaching. Cause like just making the investment is empowering enough that they know what to do. And I'm like, I don't like this. Like, I don't like this psychological thing where it's like, if you want to use the coaching that you're paying for, you're somehow weak, you know? And I feel like it's all related to the same trend on Instagram of like showing an obscene amount of money that you can say you make anything, but not really building a real business around it. And then creating like this scarcity mindset and preying on the customer that's like, well, if she can do it, I can do it. And she's telling me how to do it. So I'm going to invest in this program so that I can do it like her. But then you get into it and you're like, I don't want to face this Instagram. Like I want my customers to know me, or like, I don't want to sell $10,000 a month coaching programs and then shame my clients for wanting to have use the coaching. Like none of that feels very in integrity. And so, yeah, I think like this is the darker side of Instagram where there's no way to validate any of these numbers. And so, yeah, anybody can post that they're making any amount of money. And how would you know that they're not? And like, they're preying. I think a lot of it preys on like this get rich quick, or like it can be super, super easy to make obscene amounts of money. And anybody who runs a real business is going to tell you it's not easy to make a lot of money. Like it can get easier as your skills get better and as you build more systems into your business and you learn your market and you do it for a while. But like, it's not easy to just turn on in a faceless Instagram account and make $100,000 a month. Like that's not going to happen for 99.9% of people. So yeah, I don't love that trend for how it preys on like the scarcity mindset that so many of us have. I also don't love it because of just business principles where I'm like, don't you want, I don't know. Like, I just think connection is what's going to win ongoing in any kind of business. And I think customers, I say this all the fucking time, customers are so savvy that like over time, if they don't see your face, they're going to lose trust in you. And you don't feel real to them. And I think if you want returning customers, you want to feel real to them. You want them to know you, and you want them to see themselves in you. And if you're faceless, like it's really hard to relate to somebody. So I don't like it. It's also, somebody asked me at the mom conference about the MRR thing.
Oh my God, don't get me started. It's like a pyramid scheme scam situation.
Well, and it's kind of the same feeling of like, okay, like learn how to use affiliate marketing. Like we know lots of people in our space that like make tons of money from being affiliates of programs. It's absolutely a business model. And like, again, it's not a get rich quick scheme. Like you've got to build authority. You've got to have a following that trusts you. You have to have people that are like, I love Natalie and I see how she lives her life. And so the products she's using are products I'm interested in using. And like, that has to be really an integrity. And I feel like a lot of the MRR accounts I see are very, I'm sure this is going to trigger people because I've seen people saying this, but like it's showing you a get rich quick scheme. Like it's like, just do this and post this and put it up there and people are going to buy it. And it's like, that's not how it works though. Like you don't have a following, like who's going to be buying from you? You haven't built authority. You haven't built community. So you can't just like go build Canva templates and post them on Instagram and make 10K. Like that's not how it works. And I just think it's like unfair to the customer or the person who's seeing that and being sold to tell them you can make 10K overnight by just doing some Canva templates or whatever. So I don't like it. And all of it feels not in integrity with the ethos that I believe business is about, which is like community service, bettering your customer's life, like solving a problem for them. And I don't think that any of the, like the get rich quick or like any of these showing that how much money you make and telling people it's easy to do it the way that they've done it, I don't think any of that is like in integrity with community building like serving, truly serving betterment of your customer.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. For anyone that's like, what is MMR? Basically, it's like MRR, the $7 course. So people are buying the $7 course and then they get master resell rights where they then go and sell the $7 course. And the course is like how to make money online. And people then buy the course, start posting saying, I'm making $100,000 online by this course. And then other people are buying it. And it's like this whole pyramid scheme. It's a total scam. Not into it at all. Like you say, it just goes against all business principles. And I think it preys on people that really do need a cash injection. They want to put food on the table. They're looking, but like it preys on people that maybe don't fully understand how this whole thing works. And I just don't like it at all. Not a fan of that. Not a fan of the faceless. I just think if you want to get into business, like really think about like what you say, what problem are you solving? How do you want to approach it? If you don't want to put your face on social media, do you want to build your business off of social media? You have so many options to you, but building a long-term sustainable business isn't going to happen overnight and you are not going to get rich overnight. And if anyone's promising you that, run so fast. And also when you were mentioning about the COVID thing, holy shit, that's a thing. Like I have literally seen people post online of like, investing coaching with me and just being in my proximity, being in my energy is going to make you money. No, that's not how it works. No.
I feel like we can talk about it now because I think most of those people that I used to follow that were selling in that way have really changed because I think that like it stopped working. Bless everybody's hearts. But like, yeah, proximity as the sales pitch, like, yeah, in a mastermind where you're selling like, you're going to be in a room with 30 other people. Like when you talk about proximity in that context, I like it. Like you're going to be in a room with 30 other women. Yeah. Like, yeah, you want to be in proximity with other people like you because you do absorb and learn and get connections and do networking. But like proximity to me that you get, like you pay me money and you get to be in my proximity. Like
That doesn't make sense.
I'm not going to sell you that because you're not going to get anything from being in my proximity. You might get something from coaching with me. Definitely, yeah. You'll get something. Like if you really invest in working with me and then you do the work with me, your life will change. Like I absolutely 100% believe that. Like I would sell you and I's coaching all day fucking long. I would never sell to someone, send me money and get in my proximity and your life's going to change. Like I don't believe that. I've never experienced that and I would never feel an integrity selling that. And I hated that whole fucking trend during COVID. And I know so many people that fell for it and like spent so much money on coaches and then couldn't access them or like felt guilty accessing them. I'm like, this isn't coaching. Like
that's good wild.
Coaching. Good coaching is someone who you like regularly speak with and get guidance from and gives you feedback. Like what? So anyway, yeah, that's my soapbox. And now it's been 4 years. I can say this and not name names, but like, man, that was tough to watch.
Wow. I don't think I seen that during COVID because I was just like so busy.
Yeah, you guys were crushing. Yeah, Boss Babe was crushing it. But selling courses, right? Like actual courses with real content.
Yeah. But I have seen it since.
Yeah.
And I'm just like always shocked. I'm like, wait, you're not Jesus Christ. Being yeah. in your energy is not the thing that's going to help take someone from no business to $1 million in the next month. Like I've seen all of this. I just think it's so interesting. And I do think the sharing of constant numbers on social, listen, I get it. We share numbers. Like I get that that is often necessary to really demonstrate, hey, here's where I actually have been. If you're wanting to join me, like, let me show you the receipts. Here's what I can support you with. I think that is valid, but there's some people every single day, it's a receipt, it's a receipt, it's a receipt, but you don't see any of the methods. Like, okay, well, what is it that you're teaching? Are you just selling people on the fact that you make money every single day by telling people you make money every single day? Or is there substance to it? Do you have a framework? Are you teaching something of substance? How are you supporting people's lives? What is the problem you're solving? And I think ultimately all of this, it goes back to what we talk about when we talk about making long-term decisions.
Yeah.
Make long-term decisions to be here for the long run. Because trust me, speaking of nervous system, it's going to feel a lot better on your nervous system if you're not always looking, having to chase after the next sale and wondering like what your business is going to look like a year from now. Like if you know you're building something with longevity that every year it builds upon itself, that's really powerful. And that's also a bit of a nervous system hack, but
Oh my God. I feel like there's so many of these that we could get into.
No, I think that's like the tough love advice though. It like, you know, do you. Like, I'm sure that there's people that are making gobs of money at MRR, gobs of money at proximity coaching, or gobs of money at, you know,
gobs shiny of money,
shiny object online business. And good, you know, fine. Like, go get that money, girl. Like, I'm all for it. And tough love, for 99.9% of us, it's not going to work. Yeah. It's not going to work. Like, you don't have the audience built. You don't have the authority built. You don't have the chops in entrepreneurship to stick it out when it gets hard. And all of that is why, like, you got to do the nervous system work first to know, like, okay, so that you can trust your intuition. Like, this is what I'm on my rant about recently is like,
get it, girl. Give us a lot of it.
we see these kind of like get rich quick things, or we see the like easy path, and our nervous system goes, ooh, ease, ooh, comfort. Ooh, that looks easy. Like, that looks easier than doing the hard thing of building a real business. So I'm going to go do that. And I'm going to believe, even though my body is screaming at me, that it's probably not possible, not going to work. Like, or that there's something about it that doesn't feel right. I'm going to go ahead and override that. And I'm going to believe that it can work for me because she's saying that you can make 10K a month with a faceless Instagram, or 10K a month with MRR. And like, for some people they do, for sure, but they probably already had followings. Right. And so like, I'm just saying, the tough love Lindsay advice is like, you know, it's probably not going to work because you're not selling you. If you're selling you and you're selling your truth and you are selling something only you can do, give it enough time. That's going to work. Because what people want is the truth from you. They want to see you in alignment. They want to see the cool thing that you have that's different than anybody else. They don't want to see the copy paste Instagram posts. They don't want to see a faceless Instagram where they don't know who you are. Like, they want to see you. And that's ultimately what's going to help you solve their problems. And if you think you can get around that and you're special and you don't have to do the hard, vulnerable work of building a business and failing at some stuff and looking stupid and getting over cringe mountain and all of the things, like, then maybe don't go into business, because those are the things you're going to have to do. And it's hard fucking work, and it is nervous system work, and it's uncomfortable. But you get to a certain point, like where we're at now, and you've been through enough of those hard moments, and you go, okay, I don't love those hard moments. Like, God, I don't want hard moments. But also, I love learning, and I've gotten to a point now where when a hard moment comes, I know how to handle it, and I know the right decision, and I know how to get curious and trust that it's all going to be okay and that I am safe. And I think that's what I want for everybody in business, is that they know that they're safe in their business, even if it gets hard or something doesn't work or they have to pivot. And you know you can trust your business to keep you safe. And I think that's what we're saying, is like, most people are not there. And we've even been in not there recently, you know? So that's my rant on all of it, is like, choose the harder path, choose the harder inner work. Don't fall for the easy, scammy stuff. And you're going to end up on the other side with something that will last and will actually be long-term fulfilling for you.
Mm. Amen. Also, how long do you give it that we start really helping entrepreneurs with their nervous systems? I feel like it's happening one day.
It's already coming.
It's a brewing. Like, people need this work for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's happening. All right. Well, this was fun, as always, to catch up. I love when we get a little rant going.
We end up on a rant I hope people love a little tough love. Like, I don't get
upset by, like, if they are in MRR or whatever. I keep calling it MRR or faceless. Like, all we're saying is, let's build something with longevity. Let's build something that you feel really proud of.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I said this to someone who asked me about MRR at the event I was at, and I said, what are you an expert at? And she said, you know, something around sleep training babies. And I was like, why are you not selling that? Like, is that what you want to talk about? Is that what you're... And she's like, yeah, but, you know, I don't have an audience. I'm not ready, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, every minute that you don't spend on selling that thing that you're passionate about and building authority on the thing that you want the longevity business in, every minute you spend chasing something that's the quick fix to band-aid you is a minute that you're out of alignment, right? Like, you're not doing the thing you want to be doing. You're not solving the problem you're here to solve. So, like, do MMR if that's, or MR, whatever it is, if that's what you think you need to do. But I think you're doing a disservice to yourself and to your customer, because you've got passion and expertise in something and you're putting it aside to chase the shiny object. And she was like, oh, but I feel like that's the tough love. You know, I'm like, we want you to succeed. I want you to make money. However you make money, awesome. I would just love for you to be doing it in a way that's sustainable and authentic.
Yeah, and also that's your nervous system subconsciously looking for chaos, continued chaos, because it doesn't trust that there's no window of tolerance for things to get really, really good. It all comes back to that.
Yeah. Okay. It's coming from us. I don't know what it's going to look like, but obviously we've got
eventually. We've got a lot of, yeah. Who knows? Okay. Well, this was fun. We will see you guys next week. Bye.